Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this afternoon, and that was worth the price of admission, right? And so thank you for that. What a blessing. I think they really enjoy singing together, too. I don't know they can pick anybody else that can has that kind of power to sing with, but the three of them, boy, they just do a great job together. Praise the Lord for that. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. Afternoon, evening service, and this is our 33rd anniversary of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and of course just praying about how God would have me to present just where the church got started and all of that. And I believe this is the passage of scripture that he would have us to look into. And so if you found that, Psalms 119 verse 97, if you'll stand with me, Psalms 119 verse 97 down to verse 105. The Bible says, and the psalmist writes, "O how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this afternoon, and God, what a great day we've already had. Thank you for this morning's services. Thank you for what we've already enjoyed in assembling ourselves this afternoon. Father, as we look into your word and this passage that you've given me to read and how we connect it with this church that you have established and empowered for the last 33 years, I just pray, God, that we would all receive from it exactly what we have need of. Empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That lamp refers to the light to show me where I'm at, where your feet are planted. The word of God will help you to evaluate where you're at, wherever you're at. And then a light unto my path. The word of God is not only a lamp to show me where I'm at, but it's a light to point me in the right direction. My path. The path that God would have me to go down. The path that God would reveal to me his will for my life. Our main source of the knowledge of God, and we know God exists. The Bible says all you have to do is look around at creation to know that there's an intelligent design in everything. You see the DNA of God, how he operates, how he creates. He's perfect. A lost world wants to give credit to some unknown source of a mother nature. Can I tell you, it's Father God. Yeah. Our main source of the knowledge of God and his will for our lives is written down and preserved by God in this Bible. Main source. Here in Psalms 119 and verse 89, the psalmist would write, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Not only on earth, but in heaven, eternity. His word is settled. This earth is temporary. In some degree, those who claim global warming, that is going to happen. This world is going to get caught on fire. It's going to burn up one day. God promised he will not destroy the earth by flood, but he will destroy this present day earth with a fire. And then he'll create that new heaven and that new earth for a new heavenly body. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then in verse 130 of the very same chapter, he says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." When the word of God is revealed, when you have knowledge of the word of God, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." His word is here to light up our feet and continually point us in the right direction. I'm amazed at what Christ has done over the last 33 years. Countless souls have been saved. I don't think we'll really understand the number until we get to glory. It's not for any one person to gloat over how many souls you win to Christ. That's not what it's all about. It's about how God is glorified, how the truth is presented. Can't save anybody. All we can do is present the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we've done for 33 years as a church. That's something that our congregation has done for 33 years. Our missionaries have continued to do for 33 years, looking to just continue to obey the Great Commission. Countless souls being saved. I would say tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, impacted by the Word of God. Somebody, I think Eli was said he was trying to figure out how many sermons I've preached in 33 years. I think it just baffled his mind. He had to quit. Yeah. But not only that I've preached, in every Sunday school class, the Word of God being taught, impacting the lives of our children, and then their lives impacting their friends, and then impacting their friends of friends, children's children. 33 years, there's a lot. Many sent out to do a work for Christ, I think 16. And those, many more, but those are those that have actually been raised in our church. That our church has had a part in getting them through their junior years, their junior high years, their teen years, and going on to college, and now faithfully serving God in full-time ministry. Wow. Yeah. Many have remained faithful in serving the Lord here. I think we've seen some of those, and some of those. Luana Cutter, I think, is teaching Sunday school for 50 years or 55 years. Others, somewhat the same thing, just give your life to serving God where you're at. Yeah. How did it all begin? Just even for this church, how did it all begin? Can I tell you, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. 33 years ago, for myself, God lit up my life to help me to see where I was at. I was saved when I was 8 years old and played around with going in and out of church for many years. It wasn't until 1979 that my father passed away. Through his death, I realized he's only 59. I'm 62. I'm already outlived my dad by 3 years. Yeah. But through God calling him home, me to realize, what is our lives? What am I accomplishing with the life that God's given to me? One day I'll stand and give an account. I better make sure that I've done something with the life that God's given to me, the health that I've had, the ability to think, the ability to walk, breathe. It's God. God helped me to see where I was at and where I was headed if I stayed on that same path. And that was living a life that did not include God's will. It was 1979 that I surrendered my life to do God's will. Not only did I have the lamp to help me to light up where I was at, where I was headed, but I had a desire for God's will to be done in my life. And through the Bible, He gave me a light to show me the path. I enrolled in Indiana Baptist College and night school. I continued working as an auto body and frame, pulling frames and fixing cars, and which I had made a great living at. I had my own house. I had two cars, a brand new Fox, which is one of the most expensive cars at the time that I was working on. I had a muscle car and a 71 Camaro that I beefed up, put an Emron paint job on it, had a brand new motorcycle. I was hoping that God would allow me to continue that work and just support the church with my tithe. That was not God's plan. I'd enrolled in Bible college just so I could have a better understanding of the Word of God. I wanted the knowledge of God. I wanted to know all that I could know about Him. There's something inside of me that... made me want to know Him. I continued to work, body and frame. I started attending an independent, fundamental Baptist church. And I realized that it was His church that was a communicator of His truth. The church helped me to learn, to hear the preaching at every service. I had a hunger for it, had a desire for it. I was in Bible college. I was supposed to go to services, but I would have gone to services anyway because I just couldn't get enough preaching. I wanted to hear from God, and God spoke to me through the preaching of His Word. The same year, as I was looking to the Word of God and just wanting to follow God's will and understanding, as I got more knowledge, I understood more what God would have me to do. When I understood what God would have me to do, I just did it. God brought my wife into my life. We were married in the very same year, 1979. We got back from our honeymoon. The church had a church split on the first service back. A Wednesday night, the church split. It was clear that what God would have us to do and the church that we went to put me in the youth ministry. They knew I was going to Bible college. They didn't realize. I didn't know what I was doing. I just was going to Bible college. I was just trying to get a better understanding of the Word of God. I was going to night court classes. And so now I'm working in the youth department, still working auto body and frame. Have a wife, and Crystal comes along. I realized, and I was given an ultimatum at the time, we need you full-time at the church, so you either have to be satisfied with where you've gone with Bible college, or you need to resign your position in the church and go ahead and continue Bible college. I had enough years to have an associate's degree, and I thought, hey, I want to be a youth pastor. What am I doing in college? And so I stepped out of Bible college and served the Lord as a youth pastor. Was there for 5 years. God's word led me. I knew it beyond the shadow of a doubt as I was had some things would take place. My brother started pastoring a church in Frankfort, Indiana. And I knew it was time to move on. I can't tell you exactly. I didn't hear the audible voice of God, but I had confirmation of God. Resigned. One of the toughest things I'd done up to that point is to resign the youth ministry. They somehow, the word got out, and there was about 40 or 50 teenagers and up at the altar praying that I wouldn't leave. Pray my wife wouldn't leave. It really wasn't me. It was my wife. But God's word, it lit up a path. You just know it's what God would have you to do. No sooner I got up there to Frankfort, there was a need for Indianapolis was going through a whirlwind of independent Baptist churches. I mean, it was a very sad time in Indianapolis, and people were displaced, and they needed a church. We started the Lighthouse Baptist Church, planted it as a satellite church out of Frankfort, Indiana, on East Washington Street. I think there's a picture up here somewhere. Yeah, it's one of the others on the boards. If you haven't gone by and to see all the pictures around the church, you need to do so. And the shadow boxes, we actually got the new shadow box up for 2018. But for all the way back to 1985, it just shows pictures of where we have come over the last 33 years. But we planted the church there at East Washington Street. 24 people in attendance in the first service. You had to be in great health because you had to climb a flight of stairs to get up the steps to the service. 1986, in October, the church voted me in as sole pastor of the church. Once again, that was not what I began thinking, and it wasn't until just a few months before that God told me and revealed to me that His will for my life was to pastor. I always thought that I would get old and gray as a youth pastor. When I got too old to work with young people, I'd have a camp somewhere out in the woods and sticks, and my wife wouldn't have gone along with that, but that's where I wanted to be. But God made it very clear that He would have me to pastor the church. The church called me to be the pastor in 1986. As pastor, I needed to know, first of all, that Lighthouse was God's church, and that I was God's choice to serve as pastor. We needed a building. We had gotten up to right around 100, and then, of course, after everything had happened, we had started losing membership. I didn't know if people was going to continue to stay and follow me as the next pastor, as the full-time pastor, and to continue to come to this upstairs area. I knew that God would do something if it was His will, and He would put the light on the path that we were to go. I remember at my office has always been something that I started doing as a youth pastor. Saturday nights, I spent time with God and just preparing myself to be used of the Lord on Sundays. January of 1987, I was up in my office. I was crying out to God. I was totally laying out on the floor, crying out to God that God would show me what He would have me to do. 9 o'clock in that upper room, the phone rang. I was upset to start with, thinking, who's calling me at 9 o'clock at night? Don't they know this is my prayer closet? I almost didn't answer it, but I did. I answered the phone. It was Larry Sayers, a representative from American Baptist Association. And he said, I just got back in town. I was just going to leave a message. Didn't think anybody would be at church at 9 o'clock at night. But he said, I got your message. I'd called around every denomination. I made so many phone calls saying, we're looking for a building. If you have any kind of a church building anywhere, I'm interested. And American Baptist Association, he called. And he said, you know, we've got a church that the pastor just had a heart attack. And we're closing it down, and we're going to move that small congregation that was only around about 10 to another church. It says it's at 6950 East Raymond Street. Less than 3 miles where we'd been having church. After he got up, I was so excited. I knew God had given me light. I knew that was the path. I drove over here that night, Saturday night. I'd seen a little brick building, a little bit of a gravel parking lot. It looked like a shut down burger chef. If you remember how the burger chefs were all designed, that's what it looked like. But I knew this is where God would have us. I remember going up, put my hands on the front doors. I claimed this building and this property for the Lord. That was Saturday night. I was so excited, got in there on Sunday morning. I told our people that we had a church building. I didn't tell them how we got it, didn't tell them the store. I just said, God's opened the door and we have a church building. That Wednesday night, I brought those that was in our Wednesday night service. After our Wednesday night service, I think there was probably about 20 of us. And I brought them over here and we held hands out in front of that little building. And we all prayed and claimed it for Christ. 1 week later, I've been in negotiations with Larry Sayers, which was the director of the American Baptist Association. I had offered him something I thought the Lord would have me to offer him. I had prayed over it as a $90,000 offer. I'd already talked to the bank, and they was going to loan us 75%. And I thought if everybody went and took out all their savings, we could do it. And he called me and he said, I got two calls that day. It was on a Thursday. The first call was from the bank. And they said, I didn't realize you was a church. Since you're a church, we can only loan you 50% of whatever you pay for it. Churches didn't have very good testimonies in Indianapolis at that time. And then Larry Sayers called me. And he said, they've turned down the $90,000. But he said, they told me to offer you this. If you will come under the umbrella of the American Baptist Association, we'll give you the building and let you remain the pastor. And that was not God leading me to accept that. That was the flesh wanted to say, hey, I'll take it and then get rid of them later on. That's what the flesh said. God would not allow me to do that. And I said, Larry, I appreciate that. I said, but we started an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we're going to remain an independent fundamental Baptist church. I said, but Larry, I got some other information. I said, we can't come up with the money, but I want you to take another offer back to the board. I want you to take back an offer of $75,000. And you finance it for me. He said, you're kidding, right? And I said, no. I said, God wants us to have that building. And he says, I'll take it back, but basically, don't hold your breath. It ain't going to happen. That next Saturday night, after I gave that to him on Thursday, he said he'd get back to me the first of the week. Next Saturday night, I'm in my office and praying, and God told me to do something. And I was reading in the book of Joshua, and I couldn't get it out of my heart and my mind, and I believe it was God showing me to test my faith, something to do. It was January. They had about 10 inches of snow on the ground. And I drove over here to the location on that Saturday night. And I said on the seventh day, Joshua marched around Jericho seven times. And after seven times, the walls came tumbling down. And I said, if God did it for Joshua, he can do it for me. Now, this is something. 10 inches of snow. At this time, it's probably 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I get out of my car. I didn't take my shoes off. I thought the Lord would handle that. I think Joshua might have taken his shoes off, but I didn't. I left my coat on, but I started walking around that building. Walked around one time, looked around, nothing. I didn't see a light. I didn't hear from God. No 50-foot Jesus walking with me. I walked around a second time. Nothing. I identified with Israel. I'm thinking they wanted to go fight. They didn't want to just walk around Jericho. The third time, the dog started barking over at the Watermans. He turns. I thought he's going to call the police on me. I know I'm going to. He's going to ask me, "What are you doing out here?" I'm just following the light. I went around. I walked around the seventh time. Still no lightning, no thunder. Inside of my heart, I had a peace. And I went back to the front door and I claimed it again for Christ. I didn't tell the church what had happened. They turned down the one and rejected the other offer. We started planning on coming to this location. On Monday, Larry Sayers called me. And he says, "I don't understand it. They've accepted your offer, and they'll finance it for you." I mean, talk about having a shouting fit. I just rejoiced. The very next Sunday, before we ever signed any paperwork, anything, we moved into the building. The next Sunday, we had services, our first services in that building. Moved in 1987. From 1988, once we got a building, God just, he just opened the doors and we started growing and people started coming and started seeing souls being saved. We needed to build, and so God sent us builders. We seen souls getting saved. The Sears Company, not the Sears Company, but Sears, named Sears, had a building company, and Rodney was saved on a Wednesday night. We've seen electricians come in, plumbers come in. Brother Dave has still given us a warranty on all the plumbing of the church in 33 years. To make a long story short, from 1988 to 2006, we built buildings every 2 years. 18 years, 9 building projects to get to where we're at right now. Always in a building project for those 18 years. Now, each year we evaluated. Every year God has had me evaluate where we are and where we're going for 33 years. I look to his word, understand what he would have us to do, what we had to work with, where he'd have us to go. Each year we was evaluating that. We've had a lot of staff come through the church. Many of those are up on this wall here. All the staff we have on right now come through our church. The story of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, the church put this together for us in the 30th anniversary, and it gives you every year who was hired and who left and all the things, and you can find that in the bookstore if you'd like to have a copy of that. But the only way we've made it for 33 years and have accomplished what we have accomplished as a church is verse 105. The word is a lamp. We just continue to look to his word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 98, it says, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Can I tell you, in 33 years, we've had a lot of battles. There's been a lot of adversities. Satan has worked in many different ways to keep us in that upper room until we just dissolved it, to keep us from getting confidence that God could give us the buildings, to keep us from having confidence that we could build and build and continue to build, keep us from having missionaries around the world, keep us from preaching the word. We battle our adversaries. And in closing, in chapter 119, verse 100, I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. God is eternal. His word is eternal. And as you follow his instructions, he will give you that which you need. He'll have that lamp to help you to see where you're at. You compare your life and where you're at with what the word of God says. And he will reveal to you where your life is headed if you continue on that path. And if you have a desire, then you can look to his word, and his word will light up your path and give you the right direction to go in. And if you go in the direction that God would have you to go in, you find God's blessings. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Because that's how Satan gets us sidetracked. That's how Satan defeats us. Never take your eyes off of God. Don't take your eyes off of his word. Don't take your eyes off of his will for your life. Stay focused on it. I have refrained my feet from every evil way because God has revealed it to me, that I might keep thy word. As we endeavor to continue, our legacy of faith will follow. This is a legacy of faith for 33 years. I don't know just how many more God has given me. I don't know how many more God has given you. We're just going to enjoy it and do something with it as long as we have life. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Whenever that will be, we just need to be ready. If we endeavor to continue, our legacy of faith will follow. What is your legacy of faith? Where are you at? Where are you headed? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God can answer those questions for you if you ask him. He can point you to his word, and it is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. We just have to make the right choices to follow God. His light. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the blessing of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. God, as we look over the last 33 years of history, there's just only you could do what you've done, enabling this church to accomplish what we've accomplished to get us to where we're at today. And I pray, God, that we would continue to look to you and your word for whatever your will would be as we move forward. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.